You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin joke. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'd like to say hi to all of our listeners out there. Tom, I'd like to welcome you aboard here. I have a little surprise for you tonight. On our first caller, I had a talk with her earlier this afternoon, and there's a big surprise in store for you, my friend.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and all our listeners around the globe, good evening. And once again, it's the Bigfoot Hour, the real Bigfoot Hour. I've been going through some intense opportunities with our company, so you're going to have to forgive me. I'm a little haggard. And we've been going through some wonderful, wonderful transitions, which we'll be making a bunch of announcements down the line. I do understand that they've got some kind of surprise for me, so let's talk to this person, and I believe their name is Lou from California. Lou, you out there?
I sure am. Good evening, Mr. Biscardi.
Hi. What do I owe this pleasure of having you on the show? Who are you, and what do you do?
My name is Lou Simcoe, and I'm a filmmaker over here in San Francisco, and I wanted to reach out to you. Because I stumbled across a treasure that sparked my interest.
A treasure that sparked your interest?
Yeah. Who was in film school with me years ago came back into town to visit, and we had lunch, and we stopped at a yard sale. And the first thing I saw was a bunch of Bigfoot collectibles, and I'm a huge Bigfoot fan, so I immediately started rummaging through it. And some of the items I saw was a few videos that you made and some old 8mm tapes and an old journal. So a question for you. Does the name Ivan Marks ring a bell?
Of course. He's been my mentor throughout. I mean, he's gone. He's up in the big sky in the land of happiness. But he's the one that taught me everything I know.
Yep. So I asked the girl, you know, as I was doing the yard sale, what was the history of these items? And it comes to, she was related to Ivan Marks and just wanted to do some spring cleaning. So I willed a deal with her, and I got everything for $10. So when I got home, I picked a journal, and I immediately jumped online and did some research on Ivan Marks. And what intrigued me the most about the journal was there was a page entitled Expedition Itinerary that listed several people's testimonies on Bigfoot sighting, you know, their encounters with Bigfoot sightings. And he wrote, my team and I plan to travel to hear people's testimonies with their encounters with the creature, possible found footage. And so there's a list that consists of traveling from Arkansas to North Carolina, and there were some interesting testimonies, Mr. Biscardi, that I would love to share with you.
Well, and, I got to tell you, I'm put back on this because I didn't know of anything that he's left behind. And my gosh, I'd love to speak with you about this. Anything that has to do with the man who was my mentor and probably the finest Bigfoot hunter ever. You've got my ear, girlfriend. I'll guarantee you that. But what I'd like to do is off the air. Does Bill have your personal info?
Yeah, but I have this idea.
Okay, tell me.
My fellow filmmaker, Chris, on him at all times and documents everything, was filming the day that we found this journal, and I was thinking to myself, what if we reached out to you and completed this expedition Ivan was set out to do? And in doing so, we could document our journey under your lead as a Bigfoot expert to make a film. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
You got my ear, like I said. I don't know who the people are in the journal that you found in the list, if they're still alive. I don't know if you tried to contact. Are there phone numbers in the journal or anything?
There's names and there's locations, and I'm pretty sure if we did our research, we can get a hold of them.
Wow, that is phenomenal. Now, was there any film footage of the old 8mm or 16mm that he had? Or
there's some 8mm films that you know, can we can like get the film off that and put it on DVD and see what's on them.
Have you seen anything that's on them yet?
No, I haven't.
Wow, this is incredible. That you could probably be having one of the biggest finds ever.
And that's
here
why
it is, one more time, finding it out of a yard sale or was it a garage sale. What do you call them? I don't even know.
Yard sale, garage sale. You know.
Yes. Wow. Well, you know what? I'm enticed. You've got my ear. And would I go out and do this on behalf of my mentor? And I'll tell you this. I would, to say it over the phone and commit myself right now, I would give you a 75% commitment, knowing when you mentioned Ivan's name,
mm-hmm.
but I'd love to see what you've got. We can meet. We can go over everything you've got, and if it seems plausible, you've got me.
Awesome. I would love to meet you.
Listen, I can't wait. Just give all the information to Marco if you already haven't. And
okay.
Wow, what a hell of a surprise. You bet. This has been a surprise to me. And thank you, Lou. I appreciate this, and I look forward. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be leaving the show after you because I've got too much to do, and Bill's going to handle it from here.
Okay.
Just get up with Bill and get your number, and I'll give you a jingle, and we'll talk about this further in Lent tonight.
Awesome.
God bless you, and thanks for calling in, Lou.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, unbelievable. Did you hear that? Here it is one more time. Somebody finding something in a yard sale / garage sale, memorabilia of Bigfoot. This one happens to be a bingo. My mentor, he's dead now over 12, 15 years ago, but God rest his soul, Ivan. But how this would end up in a garage sale is beyond me, but I can't wait to see the journal and see what this gal has found. Wow, Bill, thank you. It's been a hell of a surprise.
I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I thought it would be, Tom.
Yes. Listen, have a great time with the rest of the guests, and please apologize for me. I've got too much to do, and I'm exhausted, partner, with the long...
Oh, not a problem, and we'll see you later, Tom, and good luck. And I'll get the information for Lou for you.
Thank you so much. Please do that, and then call me after the show. Okay?
Good night now.
Good night.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tom. He had to take off real quick. As I explained before, we have a little bit of technical difficulty with our conference line tonight, and there's a portion of it that doesn't work. So what we're going to do is we're going to have to forego the commercials and the the entrance and all the other, the outro and all that stuff. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to go next to our good friend Dean in Michigan. Dean?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to set the stage for this. Last week, Dean was on the show. He sent me an envelope with some pictures in it. And the pictures were pictures that his friend, he went through a great deal of trouble to do this. You have to understand. Dean has no digital camera or any of the other stuff. His friend had the camera. He had his friend take the pictures down and get them developed, and then he had to get them from him, and he had to send them to me in the mail. And he sent them to me. And today what I did, if you go up on www.bigfootlive.com, you will see in the where it says show, click on the button or on the button there, and it takes you to what's on the show this week. And you'll look at the listing of the guests tonight, and right below the second guest on number three or number two, I think it is, on number three, where it says Tom interviews Dean of Michigan, returning this week to talk about the pictures he sent of the creature. See the pictures in the link below. There's a link below that. That'll take you to a little display of some photographs with a viewer. And you'll see all of the photographs. And some of them are really amazing. You got to take a look at some of this stuff. Now, a couple of the pictures didn't come out the way they should have, and it needs a little more work done on them. But quite a few of them did come out. And there are some really amazing things in there. Dean, I'm going to go up to the pictures right now. Basically, you sent me, I think, 10 pictures altogether. One would not come out at all. But what I did is I scanned them in, and then I used them to lighten them up a little bit so that you could see some things in the background. And there's some very interesting pictures. 1, 2, 3, 4. Basically, you can see the outline of a creature, it looks like. And it's I've lightened it up to where you can see the full body and the head. And you can see there's four pictures of the same thing. And, I mean, these are all taken at different times. There were a little... timestamps on the bottom of the pictures. So this is the same picture taken several times with the camera that you guys had. Now this shows the picture of the creature standing up. It's a little lighter outside than it is on the other pictures where it was pitch black. Can you you know which pictures I'm talking about? Well, why don't you just kind of give us a little background on those.
Pardon me?
Why don't you give us a little background on those?
Well, my buddy here, he was setting up for muzzle loading season. He was baiting out there. And 5 days before this picture was taken, one of his other cameras was stolen or ripped off of the tree. So, you know, just getting before season started, so they decided to put their new infrared camera out there just to see it, you know. And then that day, they got that picture there.
My gosh.
And after that picture, the next four pictures were completely blank, white. They just, like, the camera just took four pictures and there was nothing on them. It was pretty amazing. And then after that, then it was right back to the deers.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it just, you know, like I said, it looked to me like some giant thing standing there and it's turning invisible.
Yeah, well, it shows an outline pretty clearly on the four pictures that I have here. Now, there's another picture that has kind of a yellowish tarp type or like a web or what do you want to call it? I don't know what you want to call it.
Right.
And that shows something smaller.
Right, well,
next to
it. One. That's a small one running through there.
Oh, my gosh. And then there's three other pictures besides that without the without that yellowish haze or whatever it is, that bright thing that's in front of it, and it clearer, it's clearer and clearer that there's something there.
Right, but
small. It's a small one.
You see the net, the shadow of the net on the other ones, you know, that looks like, and one of them, there's two of them going through there, and another one, there's three of them going through there.
Oh, really? Gosh, amazing.
I mean, look at the one, the yellow net. All right, now, look, just above the net, you can see, like, a white streak.
Yes.
All right, now, that's his back. Imagine that's his back there. Then you go up there, then you see the little crown head there, the top of his head. You see that?
Right, yes.
Now, then just follow that down where his face would be, and you can see the outline of his skull right there.
Yeah.
You can see two eye sockets, the nose socket, the mouth.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Right. I mean, there's something behind that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, the pictures are taken in the dark, and so the background is very, very dark. And with a color camera, it's difficult. And with a little bit of doctoring around with the pixels and with the color, what you can do is I can get color separation to where the same, as you know, for instance, if it's a creature or something there, it'll stand apart from the darkness because it'll have a different pixel a coloration on it. And all I have to do is using Photoshop is go in there and monkey around with the filters, and the what it'll do is it'll filter out and it'll bring it into a nice little outline of something. If there's something there, it'll bring a nice outline. I just didn't have time to do that today.
Right.
You certainly can see from what I did get, there's something there, and there you can for sure see the small one on the left of that. To the left of that that little, looks like a, I don't know, glowing web or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, on that other picture, what I did is that I just cropped that picture, the one picture, and I just blew that creature up so you could see it better, you know?
Yeah.
And now that I was telling you about the two green spots, you see them two green spots there?
Yeah, which picture?
On the one that he's disappearing, on the big one there.
Okay, yes.
Now, do you see those two green spots by its chest?
Yeah.
Okay, now that, you see the swing of his arm, and look down by his knee there, and you can see a shadow where the swing is his arm. Can you see that shadow?
Well, I can't make it out that clearly, but yes, I can see something there, yes.
It's like, you know, like a trail where he swung his arm up?
Yes.
And, you know, what I'm thinking is, you know, because I was looking, if he swung his arm up, where's his arm? When you can't see his arm. Two green spots in the shape of a, I don't know, quarter moon or whatever. And I'm looking at this and said, well, how could there, what's this green spot? It's wintertime out. There's no leaves on the trees.
Right, it's snowing.
Yeah, right. And then I seen the swing of the arm, you know, the shadow there. So I just put two and two together. I said, well, that's where his arm should be. So that's where I got this theory that they swing their arm up and that net comes down over them and they're gone. They disappear.
Well, there's certainly a lot there. I got to do a little more. We have some people that are experts at this photo stuff. I'm not an expert. I'm just kind of an amateur, but trying to be an expert. But what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, I'm going to have them so they can get that stuff to stand out. You can really see it clearly.
Right. Well, if you can, I don't. You know, I don't know if you're going to be able to see anything. You know, I'm not sure.
No. They will. It will. It'll come out. A lot of stuff will come out nice and clear. We've done it many times.
Do that, right.
Now, there's three other pictures I took. One other picture that we took, and that's the footprint. And that's a pretty good little footprint there.
That Mike got. That was the one over at Mike's house. That tree, remember you were talking about a tree got knocked down? That's the tree that got knocked down. And then the footprint was, and it was pretty lucky because there's only one little patch of sand around. And that
was it, huh?
That footprint was in it.
Wow. It was pretty, it is pretty pretty clear. You can see the toe, you can see the toes dug into the ground or the clay or the sand.
Right.
I took three different pictures of it.
A week later, he called me and told me about it. I went out there a week later, or maybe it might have been 2 weeks later, whatever. But that print was still there in that sand. That's how deep it was.
Wow. Well, it's a you can see it pretty clearly.
Right.
I put three different things on it to try to make it clearer so it wasn't shined out or anything,
right.
And it came out pretty good. Well, gosh, Dean, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us and taking us through this. And I want to tell you, I really do appreciate all the time you spent trying to get this to us.
Okay.
Because I know you spent a lot of time to do this, and it took a lot of work. And I want to thank you and your friend both for taking the time just to do this. Now, I'm going
to
take these.
I'd like to say to all the people out there that have seen them and had stuff happen. Like they can't explain where these things went so fast or whatever. That this is what they can do. That's why that they disappear so fast. That these things aren't just like animals. These things got powers to them.
Well, what I'm going to do, Dean, is this. I want to have I want to send the pictures to some of the people that really do this for us all the time. And I'm going to have them enhance them a little bit so that you can see everything clearly. And then we'll get some pictures back to you so that you have them as well.
I would appreciate that, yeah. That would be
okay.
Good.
And thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dean from Michigan. Our next guest took a little trip. And to Florida last couple weeks. Dave Ortiz, where are you, my friend?
I'm here. Finally back home.
My gosh. Welcome back, first of all, from your trip.
Oh, thank you.
And you had some interesting experience while you were gone. Actually,
yeah,
a Bigfoot experience. Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay. Yeah, well, I went to Pensacola, to just basically vacation and hang out with some friends. And boy, the beach is great. The water's a little cool, low 60s, but oh my gosh, it's fantastic there. And then I had wind of, I have some friends that live right at the border of Florida and Alabama. It's a little town called Flomaton. And they said that they, just a few weeks back, they had, and then some of their relatives had an encounter with a Bigfoot just a few short miles away. They didn't even know what it was, but after I was talking with them, they didn't even know there was a Bigfoot around there. They just Well, how the encounter occurred was at this house. They were smoking some cigarettes. There was three of her relatives were out there smoking cigarettes, and they just walked outside. The first thing they noticed it was the outdoor light wasn't on. Normally it is, the porch light. So they still went outside in the driveway, and I guess just a few seconds later, something was blocking the stars. So they kind of looked at each other in the darkness, and then they finally realized that it was a humanoid being, or it was something standing upright on 2 feet, but it was much larger than them. And they freaked out. They just dropped their cigarettes, ran in the house, grabbed their shotguns, and by the time they got out, there was nothing there. Well, they checked the porch light, and they realized it was unscrewed. So, whoever did that or whatever, they live in a very rural area, so, you know, they don't get very many visitors all the time except their friends occasionally. But something apparently had unscrewed the light off, you know. Well, we got to talking about, I started talking about, you know, the Bigfoots and the things in this area that we deal with. And then one of the sisters had said, hey, the way you're describing the story sounds something like my other relatives down the road had experienced. So I started talking to them, and we finally came to the conclusion they may have had a Bigfoot encounter. they didn't even know it until, you know, we just mentioned it there in the living room. So went out, let's see, it was the last Thursday night. I had to leave Friday morning at 6 in the morning. Well, I had to be on the plane and taken off by 6 in the morning, but we did do an outing in the evening. And earlier before, while there was still light, we did find some impressions. And this is in Alabama. This is just a few miles inside the border. And let me tell you, the vegetation is very thick. You know, you have pine, I think they're called loblolly pines, I think, but beautiful yellow-type pines. And lots of deciduous vegetation, you know, leafy trees. It's almost impenetrable in some places. We don't have woods that thick around here. You know, the Rocky Mountains have more spread out woods. Over there, it's almost a jungle. but we did find some vague impressions, probably 2 weeks before. It rains a lot. It has been raining this year a lot, so, you know, whatever is there just gets, you know, melted back down to the ground. But we did find some impressions, and I did measure a couple of those impressions is around 4 feet. So I said, you know, I don't think there's very many cows or anything that do this, so I'm loosely saying this could be a Bigfoot or something similar. But we stayed out, gosh, I stayed out till 12, close to 12 at night out there. It was getting a little, it's kind of chilly, not too bad, you know, probably in the upper 40s maybe. But, and I only had a fleece jacket. That's all I took. It was, I'm sunny Florida. And, you know, that's all you needed. But we did hear some unusual sounds, not real anything real loud. I mean, well, yeah, it sort of in the distance, but we heard more just maybe possibly some grunts, maybe a quick howl, just very quick. Everything was real intermittent. It wasn't like long howls. But there were some unusual noises, and it was very quiet, which is probably... It was hard to tell, you know, if the Bigfoot was making it quiet, like we hear so often. Because at that time of season, you know, the bugs are already becoming dormant, and things are kind of resting up for the night. But it was very still, unnervingly still out there. And but we did a lot of discussion about this, and I told them that it seems like this area would be a very good Bigfoot area. So then we went back. I got 2.5 hours of sleep. I had to wake up at 2:30 to get ready to leave at 3:30 to Pensacola Airport. So didn't get much sleep, but it was fun. But I could see that there was some vague activity out there.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, the week before, just before I left to the trip, we're having a few little circumstances out here, too. I've heard two different distinct noises. One of them sounded like a semi-truck, the brakes squealing. We do have a highway probably 2/10 of a mile to the north of me. And that's what I thought at first. It was about 4 in the morning, so I went ahead and slid the window open, and I realized the sound was coming from the south toward the river, which there is no major roads out that way. I said, well, wait a minute, what is that? And I couldn't identify what kind of sound that was. It was long, whatever it was long, and probably... 15, 20 seconds of this sound, and I said, you know, that could be a Bigfoot howl. We don't have any animals that would make that kind of tone, like semi-brakes, you know. And then it seemed like about two nights later, and I wish I would have had my digital recorder, you know, ready to go, but there were two distinct women-like screams. And I do live in a suburban neighborhood, and, you know, sometimes people do fight. But I couldn't identify where these screams were, what direction. But it was in the middle of the night, and I turned on my police scanner, you know, just to see if anybody reported domestic violence or anything. I didn't hear anything. But they were distinct woman screams, which seemed to associate themselves with Bigfoot at times. So that one was probably more inconclusive. But definitely the break sound coming from the river, which is private property. It's actually a big ranch. That was extremely unexplainable. And I took it loosely that maybe it was a Bigfoot howl, and these things do like to imitate different sounds. So I've had a kind of an interesting 2 weeks in the area, here and then out there too.
Well, that's pretty neat, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, gosh. Well, thanks for coming on the show and sharing with us tonight, especially right after getting back from your trip and everything.
Yeah, thanks.
Went to take a vacation, didn't get any sleep anyway, did you?
No, I didn't. But you know what? It was well worth it. And I did sleep on on that Saturday when I got home. I slept most of the day. So I made
wow.
up for it.
Gosh. Well, gosh, Dave, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And sharing with us. And, of course, if you can find out what's going on with around there for a while, maybe next week we can get a report on what's going on in Four Corners.
You bet. Yeah. You got it.
Appreciate it.
Sure.
What I want to do is mute you out.
Okay.
And we'll go on to the next guest.
Sounds great.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave Ortiz from Four Corners, New Mexico. And our next guest is going to be Chris. Chris from Arkansas. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. tell us a little bit of what's going on in your area there.
Well, first, I'd like to just say how cool I think it is that Tom might get a chance to watch an 8mm tape and read some journals that was done by his mentor. Like that's really cool, I think.
Isn't that something else to find that in a garage sale?
I mean, yeah, man, she got it for $10, you know, and it might be priceless stuff. So I'm sure the time it is priceless stuff. So I mean, it is kind of neat though that she did the research to call Tom, and the fact that she's offering to do like a helping do a film about it. I mean, that's even cooler. So I mean, it's, you know, good things happen to good people. So,
well, I tell you, now Tom has been associated with Ivan about 40 years ago, and of course Ivan came out with the Legend of Bigfoot, and that was his first documentary on it, and of course he had a lot of experiences and things that happened, and Tom was traveled along with him, and of course as time went by they made a couple more movies, Bigfoot Live in 82, In the Shadow of Bigfoot, and all these were made with Ivan. It's a pretty significant thing, and Ivan was a significant factor in Tom's life as far as Bigfoot was concerned. It was his, as he said, it was his mentor. Now, if you go online, you're going to see all kinds of garbage on the internet about Ivan the hoaxer and stuff like this. But I can guarantee you that there's a lot of things that are out there that you just can't believe all the garbage that's on the internet. And people just seem to spread this stuff around like gossip, like they have some sort of an authority on knowledge and background. And I can guarantee you, none of those people have ever even met Ivan Marks or even talked to him. None of the people that I've seen write stuff on the internet have a lot of them have never, ever even met Tom, ever. Not even met him. Not even talked to him. So, I mean, you know, this is stuff that's just spread around, you know.
Watching Tom on the video where he's on the news, you know, and he's inviting them to come, you know, to see the body and stuff in Georgia, I mean, you can tell – by that man, the look on his face, that there's no way in the world that he thought that was going to be wind up being a hoax. You know, like he, there's no way. You know, he was convicted in the way he was saying that. You know, I mean it. I mean, you can't. I mean, after the guys came to Arkansas and taught me, you know, just enough, I guess, where I can go out there and see if I'm in a good area. You know, and I've got Tom's documentaries and stuff on my Christmas list, so I can get those and watch those. I'm interested to see some of his movies. I've seen clips of him and stuff on YouTube, but I want to actually watch a whole video. But I mean, it allows me to go out there in Arkansas now and do what I am doing. And since you did ask about it, I'll just say that, I mean, the one thing I was concerned about, and I think I talked about it on the show, was that I was thinking that they might move during hunting season. And I think that I have found enough fresh evidence that I can say that I don't believe that they even, I don't even think they go to a different location during hunting season. And then I get, since I have come up with this conclusion based off of, like, fresh tree breaks, things that are way out of place that weren't out of place the last time I was there, you know, and that's me keeping in mind whether the weather is bad, something, you know, I'm trying to factor in all the reasons, and, I mean, I make a good logical decision by looking at it like, well, that's pretty unexplainable, you know, I mean, there's something that I might need to keep in the back of my mind. It might be something if I find something else. And then, well, keeping on looking for fresh tree breaks, fresh foot impressions in the leaves where something might be moving, things like out of place, different, like let's say it's a place where there's hardwood and there's bees in the hardwood, like naturally occurring bees in trees. When trees grow, they'll grow and split. And if they're natural, one thing that I've found that is out of place that, you know, that I was taught by the guys that came, Jim Dawson and his friend that came from when I made my first encounter, when I talked to you about my first encounter, I'm sorry, there'll be stuff stuck in the bees. Like it'll be, I say it'll be where there's nothing but hardwoods, like gums and stuff. There'll be like pine trees, like a big piece of a pine tree, like not like a little branch, like it's almost like a whole big branch off the top, or maybe even a whole little baby pine tree that's just been broke off at the bottom, but it'll be shoved in the V of a tree. And I mean, you look around, there's no pine trees. You're like, all right, well, where did this come from? And who would be out here just out in the woods, you know, messing around and sticking pine trees and the bees and trees. And I mean, that's some of the stuff that's on my YouTube videos, and some of the videos and pictures that I've sent you as well. That ought to be on y'all's website as well, that people ought to be able to go see stuff like that. But I don't know what I basically want to ask. I guess I'm asking a question now. You know, I've been getting asked a question a lot here lately, like, how come the hunters aren't seeing them more? If, you know, I mean, you would think if they were quiet enough to get out there and they were hunting deer, you know, and they would be still enough that they might walk out and the hunter might see them. And the only thing I could tell people is the most activity, the craziest things that's happened to me has happened to me at night out there, you know, between like the hours of probably like 11 and 3 o'clock is when I've had the coolest things happen in the woods. And I was just listening to the guy talk about it, and he said that they stayed out there till maybe like 11, and right about 11 is where it would have really probably gotten real good for him if he had just waited a little bit longer and stayed out there a little later. But I guess I'm asking the question, Marco, is what do you think about why hunters are seeing them more hunting?
Well, most hunters are not out there between 10 and 4 in the morning. Most hunters are out there usually during the day. And they are usually in by dark, and our experience has been, although they these creatures have been seen during the day, and there have been encounters during the day. Their time to go out and forage around and stuff is between, I think, like 10 o'clock at night and 4 or 5 in the morning is their normal time. That's the time that they're up and about mostly, and I think that's a big primary reason. The other thing is these creatures, if they want to, I mean, they're not stupid. I mean, they're pretty smart. They're curious. And a lot of times when you see them, it's because they're curious and they want to come close enough to see you. And that's why we see them. And that's during the day. I mean, we believe they have sentries, just like anything else, that keep a kind of a watch on during the day when the other creatures are probably sleeping.
I do get the most of my tree knocks that I get that happen to me are during the day when I'm moving around out there during the day, which is kind of cool because I don't have to knock first. It'll just happen, and it's distinctive. You can tell what it is when it happens. And it's always cool when I take somebody out there for like the one first or second time, and then that happens, and then they're like, "Whoa, did you hear that tree knock?" And, you know, you don't have to tell nobody, "Hey, did you hear a tree knock?" They know when they hear it what it is.
But most hunters, when they're out hunting, usually want to get back before sundown. They don't want to be stuck in the woods in the dark, especially way out somewhere where they don't have any protection, other than a. I mean, and usually they have if they're not going back to their truck to drive home, they're going back to some sort of a campsite or something, right?
Right.
And I think that's a good reason. Well, one of the reasons, anyway.
I would believe so. If they sleep at day in the daytime, what should I be looking for something? Because I don't think there's any caves or anything like that. Like what?
Well, I don't think there necessarily has to be a cave. A cave or along river banks and along waterways and things. There's just where there are the things that they need to live on. They need to be near water, and so usually anywhere near water, usually in the river banks and things, they usually have little caves or little holes and stuff where they can hide in. But they also, we found, they have their own little nesting areas, if you want to call it that. They build their own little nesting areas. We found some of those. It's just that,
What should I look for to, like, will it just stand out? You'll know exactly what it is at the nesting area when you see it?
May not stand out. I mean, what they're doing, what we found is sometimes is they have these little... you can't call it a teepee, but, the tree formations made into trees behind heavy brush and stuff like that. And then when you look at their bedding areas, I mean, it's pretty well secluded. I mean, you have to walk through some really thick brush and stuff to find them. And the same thing in the grassy areas where they have. I don't know. Have you ever seen a deer crawl? Have you ever seen a deer crawl on the low to the ground? They can crawl in about 6 or 8 inches of grass, and you can't even hardly see them.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's really neat. Well, I mean, and they what they do is they, I you know I've seen them just in real silently and. I mean, they're real swift. They're fast. I mean, they can go at a pretty good pace to get through. And I'm sure that these creatures have a similar capability to do that, when they're low on the ground and all that. Some of the nesting areas we've found or the bedding areas that looks like a bedding area that they've been in are pretty good size. And they take little... I guess pine needles and other things and put them down to lay down on. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be easily discernible because obviously they're not going to make a big old flag, you know, up there to say, hey, here I am sleeping during the day.
Well, I mean,
they're going to want to keep it, you know, secluded or something, you know. But
certain things do stand out real good out there, though, like in an area where there'll be vines, like, hanging from the trees, but the vines will be low. It's almost like you look around and there might be, like, maybe two or three pine trees, but not anywhere, like, where you're real close to where you're at. And there'll be pine straw hanging from the vines, like, where, like, the top of the pine straw will be facing up and the bottom of the pine straw will be hanging down. And it's almost like a duck blind. And it's awesome to when you see it, like, walking, because it's almost like you just walk into a wall of, like, reddish-brown. Like, you just see nothing but pine straw hanging from these vines, like, in this large area. And, you know, the first thing I thought when I saw that was, wow, one of these things could be over here where there's not a lot for it to blend with and be right there, and it would be very difficult to see it if the sun was just coming up or the sun was going down. If it got dark, you'd never see it, you know, unless you got some eye shine, it could be right there.
Well, one of the things I always look at, and we don't know for sure, but, you know, when you see these tree twists, about you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 feet up, and you see these tree twists, and we think those are like signs that they markers that they make to each other. I mean, to tell, you know, territorial or where they're at or whatever you want to call it, you know, that kind of a thing, right? Because, I mean, it's for a reason. They're twisting the tree. Obviously, they're not trying to communicate with us. Same with the tree knocks. They're not doing that for us. They're doing that for each other.
Jim Dawson, let me tell people something they can try. I don't never talk about the video enough, but I've got a video that's only like a minute and maybe 57 seconds long.
Uh-huh.
And it's on my YouTube. I think I might have sent it to you, and it was right in the yard of the house where I used to live at, where I originally had my first encounter. And what happened is Jim Dawson told me to put sardines, peanut butter, crunchy peanut butter out the tree. Well, I did that. My game camera wound up getting bent on the nail that I put it in the tree, facing out the other direction. I had 30-something pictures of nothing because my game camera flashed red light before it took the picture. It had a 30-second delay. I had no idea. I kept pictures of my peanut butter disappearing. Well, after I did that, in the yard, maybe like 2 days later, me and my buddy was walking around, and we saw something like, I was like, man, did that tree just grow there? And he was like, what are you talking about? And it looked like a little baby tree was growing beside my big tree that was in the yard. And we walk up to it, and it's not a tree at all. It's just a branch.
Right.
And then there's another branch leaned right up against it. It's like in an X, like right there by the tree. It's leaned up in it in a notch. And the big branch is driven like 9 to 10 inches into the ground. And the branch is not the same type of tree that the big tree that's right, you know, it couldn't have fell from that tree because it wasn't that tree, you know what I'm saying?
Tree formations is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it did it right in the yard, you know, so I mean, I was just, I think they're trying to tell us stuff. I just don't think we know what they're trying to tell us.
Well, and they leave things, too. I mean, there are rock formations, all kinds of different things that we've found that are left in other people that have had the same experience. You know, where they'll rearrange rocks in a certain order and stuff like that. And, you know, it's for some reason to communicate for something, I don't know. But they do. And they'll leave rocks on the porch. This one lady kept, you know, she kept putting stuff out, and they'd take the stuff that she put out, and they'd leave her rocks on the porch. gifts, like, you know. So, I mean, but anyway, that's go ahead.
I say when we're out there getting in their business, they throw stuff at us too.
Yeah, well, and that happens quite frequently, as far as rock throwing and or pebble throwing or, you know, things. But and of all the throwing incidents that we've experienced or heard of from other people, there's only a couple. There's only one that I know of that I, in the last 4 years, 5 years, There's only one where somebody got hit. That was in Minnesota about 2 years ago. And a guy on a deer stand, and he got hit in the – he was wearing his, of course, all his vest and everything else, and he got hit with like about a 3-inch rock in the midsection. And, of course, it, with all even all his clothes and stuff on there, it left a welt on him.
Wow.
But most of it, most of the time they miss or come close, they'll, you know, over their head or before them, and never really, or, you know, close calls, but never a hit. And you know that if they're, some of the things that they throw are fairly large, and
yeah.
For a human to throw, and I mean, if they really wanted to, they could hurt you.
Yeah, if they,
I think
that would be very bad if they, you know, that's, it'd be very bad if they decided they wanted to do bad things to us. And, you know, especially
yeah.
I go out by myself sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I got one more guest left here, Chris, and we got to get to him because he had an experience here this past week.
All right,
and,
well, I appreciate
it.
Thanks
for coming on and sharing with us again. And I'll keep in touch with you, you know, through the week again. And give me a call if anything comes up, please.
All right, appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris from Arkansas. And now we're going to go to our last guest here, Tyrone, from the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi. Tyrone, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing just fine, Marco Bill.
Gosh, nice to talk to you again.
Oh, yeah, it's a good thing to be talking about the subject because, you know, I guess our people out there need to know the truth, and the truth, we know the truth. I haven't had an encounter since 1972, but, you know, here in the past few years here, these creatures have been making itself known here on the Choctaw Indian Reservation here in Philadelphia, Mississippi. And, you know, we've had all the things that they're talking about. We've had lairs and we've had tree knockings and we've had howlings and we've had close encounters and many
yeah.
more, you know. So I just wanted to tell you, Marco Bill, last Saturday, I finally went to my mom's home. She's a 76-year-old woman, and she's got a real strong, still got a real strong mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we were sitting there talking, and she said, "Oh, there was another encounter here just the other day. It was at nighttime, and the dog started howling, and one of my nieces, grown-up nieces, looked out the window and saw a tall, dark figure just walking away, you know, and it's really common there now. It's, you know, they're not afraid of the creature, and they're not thrilled by the creature, you know. It's just a commonplace there now, so they reported this real tall, big, dark creature walking. They could see it in the dark, you know, walking away. So they're still here, and they're still elusive. But I saw a video of it not long ago that my cousin Navian had taken, and it was thrilling to see. see that creature standing there and turning his head left and right, and turning his body and to the right, and then turning all the way around and walking back into the woods, you know. And so we got these creatures here, and the elder members of the tribe From what I understand now, they always knew that these creatures actually existed here for a long time, and no one's ever said anything, you know. From my understanding, what I found out is these folks had known that these creatures existed since time immemorial, you know, and and they have a lot of respect for it, you know, and they don't, you know, they don't want it to, you know, be harmed or anything like that. So that was the message I got from several elderly women there at the Elderly Activity Center when I was there a few weeks ago. So they heard about the Bigfoot, and they know it as I think they know it as what do they call it? Nalosachito. That's the word for.
That's the Choctaw word for Bigfoot.
Yeah, it literally means big black thing, you know. But it that describes the creature, I believe, and you know. We have had about it is we've had so many creatures here. I mean, we have little ones, we got tall ones, we got big ones, we got one, and we got different colored creatures. From they range from. Just recently, I talked to a young man that said he saw a white one, you know, and he took a fishing pole and measured the side of the wall and told me how tall it was. It's like it was. I estimated to be about 12 feet tall, but I don't know. These things are really tall, you know, but. We've got reddish brown, we got brown, we got black, we got kind of a grayish ones, we got brown ones, and these creatures where my mother lives, I think it's a certain time of the year. They seem to be coming through that area. It's common. It's common that they travel through that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to hear about them and just about every year, about this time of the year. But here, this past year, they've been around. And
well, you've had them right down in the middle of the village, right, or in the middle of the. Right in the middle of the town.
right there. I mean,
next to the casino.
Yeah, I mean that was right. As I'm sitting in my house, about 150 yards away from me. I mean, there's nothing but homes. There's probably about 100 homes all around. And my friend Gary, he came over. He was wide-eyed, and he was excited and. And that was his second sighting in about a few weeks apart, you know. And he said, "I saw this one. It was right by the recycling center." And when I got, he was driving. He said, "When I got close to it, it ran across the road and started running down the boardwalk, you know." So, that was his second sighting, and I think not the second sighting. That was his third sighting. The first time he ever had a sighting was right near my mother's house, you know. And him and his wife were driving down the highway, and one ran right across and going towards my mother's house, you know. So it's common. It's the creatures seem to be. Hanging around in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I know. I've had quite a few, actually quite a few of your family have mm-hmm. had encounters in the past couple of years here.
Oh, yes. Amazing. Oh, yes. I think the closest encounter was my niece, Jessica. She saw, she didn't realize it, but she heard some rustling noises and stuff like that, but she didn't really pay any attention to it. She finally heard some kind of noise, and she turned her head, and she said she had one of those hood on, so she couldn't see her peripheral because the hood was, hiding the peripheral vision. When she finally turned her head and looked, there were these two big, tall creatures right there, and I asked her, how far was it from you? She said it was about from here to there, so it was like a 15 football yards, you know?
Wow.
And that's pretty close.
That's pretty darn close.
Yeah, that's pretty close. It was just, she said it just only took a second for her to look at them, and there was a taller one, and there was a shorter one, and the taller one let out a low guttural growl. It wasn't loud, but it was like, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And she said she just took off running. And she got, they had to hold her down, calm her down, you know.
And, gosh.
That was her third sighting.
Wow.
The last one was with her and my mother had the sighting where the creature actually walked across my mother's yard 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And my mom described it to be looked like a dirty brown, hair looked long, matted. You could see its head was hunched down, and when he walked, his arms were swinging. And she said it looked like he took one step and over the driveway, you know.
Wow.
So they watched it for about a minute before it disappeared into the woods, you know. So, that TV show Bigfoot, what do you call it?
Finding Bigfoot, yeah.
Finding Bigfoot. If they wanted to actually find Bigfoot, they'd come over here and they'd find it real quick.
I know. Tyrone, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah.
We're getting close. We're getting towards the end of the show here. We actually had a couple of minutes over, but I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us again. I'll keep in touch with you. You can call me anytime, as you know.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
Glad to talk to you.
Yeah, and say hi to your mom and everybody for us, okay?
Okay. Oh, take care.
Take care now, and thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the end of another show. I'd like to thank everybody. Sorry for our little outage on the music and all the other stuff that we normally have on here, but it'll be fixed, it assured me, tonight. And so until next week, we wish all of you a good weekend, and keep Bigfooting. Take care. We'll see you next week. Tom will be back again next week. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster myths and mysteries, legend, tales and facts. What you want?
reason for the fact.